News 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. Primary elections this spring were plagued with long lines and frustrated voters who waited hours just to cast a ballot.
Today, voters in Georgia were met with long lines and confusion at polling places as they tried to cast ballots in the state's primary elections.
This is wrong! This is America! Please, God, help us!
It's Election Day here in Wisconsin, and voters are standing in line waiting to cast their ballots.
Some waiting for hours to cast their ballot.
Lines at 5 voting polls, down from 180. Lines wrapped around the block twice, sometimes 3 times.
The reason for these long lines? A decreased number of polling sites and shortage of election workers.
Health concerns kept many longtime poll workers from showing up today, leaving inexperienced volunteers to run new voting machines for the first time.
Some voting rights advocates say America has a systemic lack of investment in recruiting and training poll workers, especially in black and brown communities, and that this is a form of voter suppression. Enter Generation Z and the millennials. In the past few months, there's been a groundswell of high school and college students organizing to recruit poll workers ahead of the election. So let's hear about some of those efforts right now. I'm joined by Kennedy Mattis, co-founder of the Poll Hero Project, a nonpartisan an initiative to recruit high school and college students to become poll workers. Kennedy, welcome to 1A.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Also with us, Evan Melbro, founder of the Georgia Youth Poll Worker Project. Hi, Evan. Thanks for being here.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
And also Ben Hovland, chairman of the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. Chairman Hovland, thanks for being here.
Great to be here, Jen. Thank you.
Evan, you work the polls in Georgia's primary this year. What got you started as a poll worker?
So I ended up writing a op-ed for the website Blavity about why it's important for young people to become poll workers. And I ended up writing that in September. So my editor told me that I probably shouldn't be writing op-eds about being a poll worker if I don't sign up to be one myself. So that pushed me to sign up to be a poll worker in Fulton County, and also pushed me to get all of my other friends at Georgia State University, the university I was attending, to sign up as well. And we fully staffed our precinct on campus with all students in March. So that was my first introduction into becoming a poll worker.
What did you take away from the experience?
It's a lot, I will say. I think when it comes to training and when it comes to making sure you have the highest quality of service, it does take a lot, because I compare being a poll worker to being a fast food worker, except there's not as much room for misinterpretation or mistakes, right? If you make a mistake with somebody's food, you can always get them more food. But if you make a mistake with somebody's ballot, you've suppressed their right to vote.
Kennedy, Poll Hero is relatively new. Tell us a little bit about how it got started and what the organization does.
Yep. So as you mentioned previously, we are just working. We're a group of college and high school students working to recruit our fellow high school and college students. And we actually started in the beginning of the summer. I, as well as a few other Princeton students, interned for Avi Stopper, who had this organization called Vote 2020 by Mail. And our efforts were focused on voting by mail protections and trying to persuade some of the senators to support the bills that allocated federal funds for voting by mail. I mean, as you all know, that was unsuccessful, but we still wanted to help out with the election efforts in some way. And it was when we kept reading about these closure of polling locations and poll worker shortages during the primaries as a result of COVID-19, we knew that this was something within our resources that we could have an impact on, which is when we started July 22nd on this effort.
Ben, very quickly, give us a sense of how many poll workers we need in the upcoming election.
Yeah, the number really varies. The Election Assistance Commission does an annual survey, or survey after each federal general election, called the Election Administration and Voting Survey. We know in 2016, there were over 900,000 poll workers across the country. In the 2018 midterms, it was a little lower, around 650,000. So that's probably a range. But with COVID, obviously there's additional responsibilities as far as social distancing and disinfecting commonly touched surfaces. So, certainly I think that number is obviously closer to the 900,000 number or a million. And anyone that is willing and able to serve, really hope they'll sign up with their local election office.
We're talking about a shortage of poll workers for the upcoming election. I'm Jen White. We'll hear more from you and our guests in a moment.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HelloFresh. Get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your door with the meal kit delivery service HelloFresh. Make home cooking fun, easy, and affordable. There's something for everyone, including low-calorie, vegetarian, and family-friendly recipes. Go to HelloFresh.com/1A80 and use code 1A80 to get a total of $80 off, including free shipping on the first box. Additional restrictions apply.
Do you talk about the news with your friends, your family, or maybe perfect strangers? You can get all the facts you need to be up to speed on this busy news cycle on the 1A News Roundup. Find the podcast in your feed every Friday.
Activist Aaron Dorr tells his flock of pro-gun followers on Facebook that he's tirelessly fighting for their Second Amendment rights. But if that's true, why do so many pro-gun Republicans hate him so much?
Aaron Dorr is a scam artist, a liar, and he is doing Iowans no services and no favors.
Find out on the No Compromise podcast from NPR.
This is 1A. Now let's get back to our conversation about finding poll workers to staff the upcoming election. I'm joined by Kennedy Mattis, co-founder of Poll Hero. It's a nonpartisan initiative to recruit high school and college students to become poll workers. Evan Malbro, founder of the Georgia Youth Poll Worker Project, and Ben Hovland, chairman of the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. We also heard from some of you saying you will be working at a polling place for the first time this year.
My name is Tina from Pensacola.
My name is Rob in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, my name is Gabby. I'm 25. I'm calling from Cleveland.
I worked my first election in the Florida primary in August, and I am getting trained to do the election November 3rd.
I've just volunteered to be a poll worker. I've never done that before.
This will be my first election in November to work. I'm so excited.
I was so outraged by what's going on, I decided I had to do something, so this is my first time.
I certainly think this is one of the most important elections in my lifetime, and I want to do anything I can to help.
I can't wait to perform my civic duty and be a part of democracy. It's going to be so fun. I'm just really excited.
Tina, Rob, Gabby, thanks for those messages. Ben, we were talking about the hundreds of thousands of poll workers who are needed to staff elections across the country. And we got this tweet from R who says, I tried to sign up as a poll worker in Wake County, North Carolina, a few weeks ago and got an automatic response back that said they had overwhelming interest and no longer needed volunteers. It looks like most of the need in North Carolina is in the rural counties. And I'm wondering how this will affect turnout in those areas, as those areas are more heavily Republican and many Republicans plan to vote in person on Election Day. Do we have an understanding of what areas tend to see the biggest shortages of poll workers?
That's very interesting to hear. Actually, even though you wouldn't think so, it's great to hear that many people are responding. I think when you look at it, normally most of the need actually is in the larger cities, the larger jurisdictions, just because they have more polling places, and of course, then need more poll workers. And you know, we've heard some of these stories, similar stories about people who have tried to sign up and either had an experience like that listener, or who haven't heard from their local election official. And what I would say to those folks is, first, thank you for signing up or trying to sign up. That's doing your part. But second, it's important for people to understand that local election officials right now have a lot going on and maybe need or deserve a little patience or slack. We're 41 days from Election Day today. UOKAVA ballots, or the military and overseas citizen ballots, have just gone out. Some states are already early voting. Voter registration deadlines are quickly approaching, and many offices are being inundated with voter registrations and absentee or mail ballot requests right now. So I say all that just to acknowledge the amazing work that our local election officials are doing around the country. And if you're needed and you sign up, they'll call you. And if not, just simply knowing that people are out there willing to step up and serve makes a difference.
Kennedy, your organization is targeting major cities in 8 states for your recruitment efforts. How did you choose these locations?
So our very first location was in Philadelphia, second Milwaukee. Our reason for choosing those states, first of all, for Philadelphia, we had met with the election officials, or Avi Stopper did, and they kind of described the shortage they needed for primaries, 8,500, but could only find 2,500. And our next location being Milwaukee was chosen from the fact that we saw in the news that 175 of their 180 polling locations were closed. And as we expanded, we combined not only what we read in the news of which cities experienced the most extreme cases of polling location closures, as well as which election officials had reached out to us to ask for our support in their city.
We got this email from Daniel who says Illinois held its primary election on March 17th, just as COVID restrictions and anxiety were erupting. Many poll workers chose not to work for a wide range of important reasons. I worked and my polling place served over 1,000 voters in 13 hours. Although our county is now better prepared with safety equipment for the upcoming election, turnout will be much higher. Evan, how concerned are you that poll workers might back out at the last minute because of the virus or other reasons?
I'm actually very concerned about that. I actually, along with running the project, I work as an instructor. And I think one of the hardest part of when I'm teaching poll workers is letting them know the safety guidelines and the social distancing guidelines that go with it, right? So one of the hardest things about it is the fact that you can't require masks or require any facial covering or temperature checks in the state of Georgia before going to vote, right? So that you cannot require voters to do that. And the only people who can be tested are the poll workers themselves. So I've definitely had to field a lot of questions and concerns about having to interact with people who may be infected or who may not be following social distancing guidelines. So I definitely see that as a fear, especially as we're going into flu season. If we see a large spike, maybe the week before the election or a few days before the election, that could stop a lot of poll workers from, or have a lot of poll workers opt out on working election day. Because as you said before, it will be a very high turnout and there'll be a high volume of people in that precincts from the time it opens to way after it closes.
Well, Ben, this raises the issue of recruitment and training. New poll workers need to understand, you know, how to work election machines, what the requirements are around COVID-19 in their state. Does the federal government invest enough in recruitment and training for poll workers?
Thanks for that question. Actually, the federal government normally is not particularly involved in poll worker recruitment. It's usually something that's done, you know, at the local level primarily. You've seen some great state efforts too. But with the COVID-19 pandemic, we were seeing this substantial dropout in the primaries and consistently hearing from election officials about the need and their concerns around recruiting enough poll workers. So at the Election Assistance Commission, we launched the National Poll Worker Recruitment Day effort as a day of action and awareness, first and foremost, of course, to get people to sign up to serve, but also to educate Americans about this opportunity. We know a lot of people, particularly young people, were not even aware that this was a way that they could help make a difference in their community. And so I think certainly the projects that Evan and Kennedy are involved with and others, has just been an awesome response to that. And certainly, there is still that need. And for anyone that is willing to serve, sort of to the point about training, the sooner they can sign up, the better. And so, certainly would encourage anyone listening to go to helpamericavote.gov, and that can help get them to their local office and sign up.
Do you think, Ben, there are sufficient resources invested in training poll workers?
Election officials, are pros at this. They are professionals and great public servants. They do work on this all the time. Certainly, our elections generally are under-resourced. At the EAC, Congress gave out $400 million or gave us $400 million to distribute to the states earlier in the year in the CARES Act funding package to respond to COVID, to help, help states or jurisdictions ramp up the increase of mail and absentee ballots, to acquire PPE, et cetera. So, certainly we've heard consistently from local jurisdictions that resource challenges are real. But we know that election officials are contingency planners by nature and are doing a great job. But, you know, to the degree that there are people who can sign up and who can help, it's needed.
Well, we have a lot more to say about poll workers as we prepare for the big election, and we'll get right back to it after this short break. This is 1A from WAMU and NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as isolation, depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment when you need professional help. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Visit betterhelp.com/1A to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Radio Ambulante is NPR's only Spanish language podcast. Listen for stories you won't hear anywhere else, told by the voices that make Latin America come alive. Each week, we bring you another remarkable story that will surprise and move you. Radio Ambulante, new episodes every Tuesday. Listen and subscribe.
This is 1A, and we're continuing our conversation about poll workers and the role they play in our elections. You know, I'm wondering, Evan, as someone who worked the polls, how concerned are you, or what additional investment would you like to see in recruitment, but also in training?
I would say I think there should be more resources to do multiple trainings. I believe in most states, trainings are usually just one day, right? So, for example, the training classes I teach, they're about 4 hours one day, and then they go to work the election. So what I would say is I think we as a country need to invest in making a national election system where training is uniform around the entire country so that there can be universal education standards that all precincts and all election workers can meet and can be trained on and can get adequate resources for, right? Because in most states, training depends on county to county. And I think that makes it a lot harder for us to figure out what's wrong and figure out what to fix, because a way a training works in one county, the solution for that training is going to be different in another county. So I definitely think that when it comes to investment in an election, we do need to make sure, and of course, in respect to states' rights, we do need to make sure that we need to have national standards when it comes to our election trainings in general.
Richard tweeted, "I've worked elections as IT support. Most volunteers are retired and tend to be a bit technically challenged. We need more young people to be involved." Evan, how technically difficult is it to run a polling place?
I would say, especially now in Georgia with our new voting systems, it is a lot harder, right? For example, instead of the voter certificates that are paper that you sign, we have them on iPads and we have them fill them out on the iPad touchscreen. And then our ballot marking devices are, or BMDs as we call them, are touchscreen as well. And finally, we have a scanner that we scan our ballots through. So that's three pieces of technology already that we're using for an election. And for poll workers, they have to be trained on all three and tested on all three. So that's going back into the training situation. If you have an older person who may not have been as adept to technology as somebody like myself or the colleague from Poll Hero, it might be harder for them to pick up on the materials in that training, and then also might be harder for them to troubleshoot intuitively, right? I believe younger people, we can learn technology a lot faster because we grew up with it. But also, I think we're better at thinking on our feet when it comes to troubleshooting, because we may not have used the technology all of our lives, but we've used similar technologies. So a lot of the things that can troubleshoot and fix those very same issues, we can think about that intuitively and do it faster, right? Because it's not just fixing machines that are broken. It's fixing them as fast as possible.
Kennedy, how are you preparing people for the challenges of working at a polling place on election day?
So as of now, our efforts only include the recruitment of young people to become poll workers. We do make sure to inform the students that who sign up that some of their responsibilities will include working with the voting machines and having to troubleshoot issues as they arise. However, we do the specific preparation to deal with those situations. That is not currently one of our focuses.
We got this email from Kimberly who says, please stop saying poll workers are volunteers. In many states and counties, poll workers are paid. It's not much, but it's not volunteering for free. Some places even offer hazard pay. Ben, can you speak to that?
That is right. You know, most jurisdictions across the country do pay. It is great temporary work if you need it. I think one of the reasons we often refer to people as volunteers is just to distinguish from full-time election staff, which many people actually think that poll workers are and don't realize that it's just members of our community who are I won't use volunteer again, but essentially are for the day to serve regardless of what that pay is, but it is absolutely needed, and it is an awesome experience. Certainly you get the financial reward. I've done it for years, and to Evan's point earlier, the analogy to being a fast food worker, certainly there's something to that, but really it's the opportunity to be that customer service face of our democracy, and so when somebody comes into the polling place, whether they're an 18-year-old voting for the first time and maybe a little nervous, you can check them in and get them ready and tell them they got it. Or a senior citizen who's been voting longer than you've been alive and maybe they need a little extra assistance. You have the ability to have that smile, be that customer service face of our democracy, help them participate, help them have a great experience. And give them that I voted sticker on the way out the door. And it is very rewarding. Again, there's the financial aspect, but there's really just doing your part for your community that is also great.
And very briefly, Ben, what's your advice for people who are planning to vote in person on Election Day? How can we make poll workers' lives maybe a little easier?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for asking that, because serving as a poll worker is great, but not everybody can do it. And there is a lot that people can do right now to help out both themselves and poll workers. First and foremost, voter registration. Yesterday was National Voter Registration Day. A great reminder about how much it matters. It matters if you want to mail to have both be registered, but have current address information. Having your information up to date means that if you want to vote mail or absentee, it'll get to the right place. But if you vote in person, whether that's early voting or on election day, it reduces the chance that you're going to have to do an address change update form or a provisional ballot that's less likely to be counted. That means less time in the polling place, less congestion. That's good for you, the people behind you in line, the poll workers, the election officials, 40 states have online voter registration. You can go to vote.gov and it'll get you to the right place and you can get registered and help out a bunch of people.
That's Ben Hovland, chairman of the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, Evan Malbro, founder of the Georgia Youth Poll Worker Project, and Kennedy Mattis, co-founder of Poll Hero. This conversation was produced by James Morrison and edited by Matthew Simonson. To learn more about them and the rest of the team, visit the1a.org. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks for listening, and let's talk again tomorrow. This is 1A.